He is the editor-in-chief of GoDucks.com, multiple Twitter options for Duck Football. It's at Duck Football. And for much else, try at GoDucks Mosley. Rob Mosley checks in. Rob, how are we doing during this insanity that we call our lives these days?
Baseball games today, 8 playoff games, and I have a feeling that has been music to your ears, and it's sure been music to mine.
Yeah, I've really been enjoying this, and I think they owed it to us, so it worked out. You know,
yeah, karmically, yeah, we had this coming. Yeah, it's been fun. It, you know, right when hockey ends, which can be heartbreaking, baseball's here to pick us up, so I appreciate that.
All right, I like the way the karma gods work this out. So one of the things, you really get to know the student-athletes on a different, more personal level. I mean, you went on the Heisman Tour with Mariota. You've always been wired into the women's hoop program. And just the rookie season of Satu Sabali, when you add up the historic stats and her willingness to use her voice to address the critical issues, I mean, how remarkable is her story at this point, at such a young age?
Yeah, I mean, she's just phenomenally well-rounded. And, like, you know, I, at 43, am, like, twice her age and, like, look up to her. Like, I literally, like, admire her. Like, I could see voting for her if she ever ran for office. I mean, she's just so worldly, given her background and the different places she's lived. She's, you know, obviously really smart and has no, you know, and has the confidence to make that known and to make her voice and her opinions heard and stand up for herself and stand up for things she believes in. She's obviously insanely talented as a basketball player and, you know, doesn't lack for a killer instinct. You know, sometimes you'll see players who have all the talent in the world, but, you know, lack the motivation to work hard to get the most of it or to take advantage of that on the court. And she doesn't lack for any confidence in that regard too. She just, I mean, she could probably be a freaking model if she wanted to. she's just got so much going for her. It's, you know, you can see she did Nike ads overseas. I mean, people are taking advantage of her profile that way. It's just, she's so well-rounded. She's just so phenomenally impressive in so many ways. It's definitely, you know, she's a different kind of personality. You know, like a Ruthie Heber is just so fun and just, you know, kind of, you know, lovable. You know, Satu, there's a little bit more of a serious side to her, you know. But, you know, I wouldn't say I got to know her quite as well as, you know, as a Sabrina or a Ruthie. I mean, I think she had bigger and better things to do than waste time with schmucks like me. She was, she needed to go off and change the world. So, yeah, I really enjoyed watching her play in her rookie season. I just... There's big things to come from her on and off the court, no doubt about that.
Well, my sources say that her catchphrase was, "It's enough with Mosley."
yeah, not that guy, no.
You mentioned Ruthie, and you know she walked into, I guess, a more favorable basketball situation than either Satu or Sabrina, you know, with Courtney Vandersloot, more experienced roster, but... partly due to injury as the season moved along, her role expanded, as did her productivity. I mean, she's always a model of efficiency, hard work, and buckets. How did you view her rookie season?
Yeah, you know, to succeed as an athlete, you know, you have to be ready to take advantage of opportunities. And, you know, nobody maybe embodied that better than Ruthie in her rookie season. I mean, she, if we're being honest, if this is a normal year and there's a normal preseason camp and normal competition for jobs, you know, she might have been on the bubble to make that roster or not. I mean, I think it's possible to say that had there been a normal camp, maybe she's like one of the last players not to make the team. But this season being what it was and drafted where she was, I think they decided, hey, this is somebody we know we're going to lean on. And she was ready. She was ready to help in the minutes she got early on, and then she kept getting better and better and better and better. And so, yeah, there were some injuries late in the year, and she ended up being pressed into the starting lineup, and she really took advantage. I mean, there's things for her to work on now. I mean, that based on that experience. I mean, we saw some times in some of the important games they played down the stretch where some teams really went after her you know, when she was on the defensive end. And so, you know, now, you know, she knows that, and she's got film of that, and she can see what she has to work on to be a better defender. But as you know, as you talk about, you know, we know how efficient she is as a scorer, and to see how well that translated was pretty amazing. But again, how much better she got. I mean, her fitness level got better just throughout the course of the season. I mean, her ability to run the court and play longer and longer stretches of time was noticeable. I mean, it looked like her body changed over the course of the season. I mean, she just really leaned out. She kind of played herself into that game shape that you need at that level to succeed at that level, and it was pretty impressive. I mean, but we knew that about her. She just, you know, she's easy to underestimate, but she just puts her head down and goes about her business and gets the job done. Puts in the work, does it with a smile on her face, and. Yeah, I mean, there's no one that's easier to root for than Ruthie, that's for sure.
Nope, rim to rim, talking with Rob Mosley of GoDucks.com. A week ago Sunday, a lot of people thought that the NFL debut of Justin Herbert was still in the future. Then he comes out with the offense after the opening kick. They almost beat the Chiefs. Tough loss last week. And, yeah, you could see a couple rookie mistakes. But the eye test, I see a guy, it doesn't seem anything is over his head. Well, so what do you make of his first two games for L.A.?
Well, just from a pure fan perspective, just fun to watch. I mean, I don't think I've cut loose as much as a fan and just enjoyed watching and rooting for a game more than his two starts, and partly because I think they were so unexpected, but then also, you know, not just being a Duck but being the Eugene kid and having that angle to root for. You know, I was excited to watch, you know, the WNBA rookies for instance, like we were just talking about. It was almost like there was a little bit more pressure on them to succeed and kind of to meet expectations. You know, when Justin gets thrown in there last minute, like, there's no expectations. And you can just, hey, go out and show them what you got, kid. And, there, you know, there's no pressure. Just try to survive. And he thrived. Yeah, and there was some things to clean up for sure from you know, that interception in his first game, for instance. But really fun to see. I mean, taking off the fan hat and putting on, you know, more of like the reporter whatever hat. I'm a little worried, just because I was really excited to see him drafted by a team that had a quarterback and seemed to have confidence in a quarterback, because I was really hopeful, hey, he wasn't going to get thrown right into it, because you just see how hard that is. You know, it seems like the success rate, anecdotally, that's a hard thing to do for a guy to just get thrown in right off the bat and have to survive, you know, have his confidence intact, keep learning and developing as a player while suffering. I mean, they've suffered. I mean, it's... they've had a couple of tough ones, and so I do worry, you know, kind of long term. Is this what's best for him? Is it fun as heck to root for him? Absolutely. Well, that changed, no way. But I also wouldn't mind, you know, for Tyrod Taylor, just for his sake personally, to see him get healthy and be able to get back on the field. But to help kind of take the load off Justin too, I wouldn't mind seeing that. You know, let him bank these early performances. You know, we know he's going to study film like a maniac and see how he can get better. But then also maybe dial it back a little bit. Now, who knows? Maybe I'll eat those words. Maybe he'll go out the next 2-3 weeks and throw 5 touchdowns a game and be the next Patrick Mahomes, and that would be phenomenal. But just, you know, being realistic too, I just don't want to, you know, I don't want to see pressure build up too much and his confidence take any kind of a hit. You know, I want to see him have a long-term path to development, and not just, you know, risk. You know, running into too many roadblocks too early in his career.
Let's get over to Duck football. Early last year, I was like, you know, Javon Holland is going to leave after this year. And then after pandemic hit, and of course he announced he's NFL bound. Yesterday, Ryan Thorburn made an interesting point. He said, seemed like he was longer than two seasons. I mean, you've seen all the great ones the past 20 years in that secondary. You know, Ugo Amadi most recently, the D-Boys. How special is this Hollywood Vaughn guy?
Pretty special, yeah. I mean, he's in the conversation with those guys, and you know, you talk about some guys, particularly with, you know, the TJ Wards and Jairus Byrds and Patrick Chungs, and you know, now Ugo seems to be on that trajectory of guys who had some pretty significant success at the pro level, and that all influences kind of how you analyze a guy's career as a whole. And so, you know, Javon Holland, you know, we'll see how he does the next level. I think that'll decide a little bit how he's remembered in relationship to some of those other guys. But just the talent he was. I mean, some guys are just so good they can play loose no matter what, and he was that. I mean, he was so confident in himself and his preparation and his abilities and his instincts that he was fun to be around every day. I mean, I've started the last couple of years taking still photographs at football practice just because there's so much demand every single day to have new images of guys. You know, every time I go back and look through like a reel of photos from a practice, you know, there'll be at least one or two of Javon making a big play, but then like mugging for the camera afterward. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just the personality he brought to the field every day. You know, some guys, you know, it's just like that passionate intensity, and they're always yelling and kind of borderline playing with like a level of like rage almost, and that's what fuels them. And he was just so loose and confident, and just that made him really fun to be around. And I'm gonna root for him a lot at the next level too. That's for sure. And there's another smart kid. I mean, you can see, get a little taste of that on his social media. And he can get a little goofy too, but he's not afraid to ask questions. He's not afraid to throw strange stuff out there because he's just curious. He's naturally curious about the world. In a way that some guys aren't, and that's impressive about him too.
He's silly talented. I mean, if you just watched his highlight reel as a receiver in high school, you'd be like, well, this guy could just do anything. Couple final thoughts for Rob, GoDucks.com. A little timeline. I know we don't have a Pac-12 schedule. I think Coach Cristobal said about 40% of the guys went back home. So where are we, players returning to campus? Are they there? What are you hearing as far as, you know, getting all the testing and protocols in place and flipping the switch? Because I guess camp's supposed to start, what, 8 or 9 days?
Yeah, we're supposed to get going next Friday, is the first day of preseason camp. Let's see. So guys have been back in town for about a week and a half now. They had to do an isolation period. This past weekend was the first kind of OTAs, if you want to call them that, to borrow a term from the NFL, where you started to get, you know, groups of players together for strength and conditioning workouts, walkthroughs, things like that. I'm not 100% I'm not around them. I haven't personally been cleared. You know, as far as I know, nobody like that works in like communications or anything like that. There haven't really been conversations yet about what protocols will be necessary for us to be around the team. So I'm just hoping to be there Friday when practice opens. I haven't been around since March, honestly. But they're starting to ramp up in terms of strength and conditioning workouts since this past weekend. So they'll have a couple weeks of that under their belt before they start practice. They started. Our medical staff are training on the Quidel testing machines, I believe, Thursday. And that is an ongoing process. I think we've got one at the arena and then three available at the Casanova Center for primarily football and then any other sports that train over there. But I think right now it's just football. That's not just snap your fingers and those are ready to use. There's a number of people that have to really get up to speed and get comfortable because that's obviously not something you just want to do in any casual form. I mean, that's really got to be nails in terms of, you know, the accuracy of the testing and the efficiency of the testing and all that so that when practice starts Friday, you can ensure every day that everybody can practice safely. So, there's a certification that has to be approved from campus, I know. And so I'm not 100% sure. I haven't asked today, for instance, kind of where they're at with that. But last I heard, that was going to be a few days process for the medical staff to feel comfortable with operating those machines. And that's obviously a box you've got to check before practice starts next Friday.
All right. A lot of good info, a lot to drink in. The tick, tick, tick you're hearing is the countdown clock to the start of practice for hopefully what will be a season the first week in November. Folks, he's Rob Mosley, editor-in-chief of GoDucks.com. For football on Twitter, use @DuckFootball. Anything else, @GoDucksMosley. Rob, always appreciate your time, insight, and information. Be well, and as always, look forward to talking again soon.
Absolutely, anytime. Always appreciate it, Steve. Thanks a ton.
All right, have a good one, Rob.